Please be seated. Thank you, Brian. If you'll open to Jeremiah chapter 1, we want to look again at those verses that Tyler read for us just a moment ago. As a nation, we are deeply absorbed with this topic of self-esteem and having good self-esteem and being certain that our children grow up with healthy self-esteem. A whole industry has grown up around this topic. There are classes and courses in this. There are book after book after book that has been written on the topic. I remember one of the earlier ones, I'm Okay, You're Okay, all dealing with this concept of self-esteem. I remember reading in parenting books when our girls were young about this, and one of the things that was said is be certain that your children find at least one thing that they're really good at so that they can maybe be better than their peers and will have a healthy self-esteem. And we, you know, really pursued this and looked at it. But there's a danger in this pursuit of healthy self-esteem. And that is that if we're not careful, we lie to one another about what we can do under our own steam, with our own ability, and we lie to our children by telling them that you can do anything that you choose to do. You know, we do have opportunities, and we can do great things, but I don't care how talented the prodigies are that have grown up in your home. They can't do anything and everything and be all that they might wish they could be. Not just anyone can play ball for the St. Louis Cardinals. There are a lot of parents who are convinced at an early age that their children are going to be professional athletes. Do you know what the percentage is of American children that actually make it into professional sports? It's a fraction of 1%. Most children can't do that. Not just anyone can play in the orchestra for the Boston Pops. Now, you may encourage them to be first chair in their chosen instrument, but most children are not going to make it to that elite professional level, no matter how much they want that or think they can achieve that. Not just anyone is going to be able to own a Fortune 500 company. You know, when we tell our children that they can do anything that they want to do, that may just not be quite true. There are many things that I'll never be able to do and that my children will never be able to do. And it really isn't just a matter of positive attitude and hard work. There are life circumstances. What if you get a brain tumor? What if you have a car accident? What if 1,000 other life circumstances happen to you that you didn't plan for, that can change everything in a heartbeat? And I'm convinced with our children that this reality eventually dawns on them, and they are faced with the truth that they can't, in actuality, do anything that they want to do, and that there are a lot of folks out there that are going to always be better than them, even in their chosen area of expertise. This is why it's so critically important that we get our self-esteem from the correct source. Here in our country, we place our values on externals to a very large part. Youth and beauty and intelligence and athletic prowess, all are things that are huge factors in determining self-esteem. But what happens if you are one of those fortunate few who has it all and then lose it? What happens when Superman ends up in a wheelchair? What happens when a supermodel grows old and wrinkled? Listen again to the message of God given to this prophet Jeremiah here in chapter 1, beginning in verse 4. Jeremiah says, "The word of the Lord came to me, saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. Ah, sovereign Lord, I said, I do not know how to speak. I am only a child. But the Lord said to me, do not say, I am only a child. You must go to everyone I send you to and say whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you and will rescue you, declares the Lord. Then the Lord reached out his hand and touched my mouth and said to me, now I have put my words in your mouth. See, today I appoint you over nations and kingdoms to uproot and to tear down, to destroy and to overthrow, to build up and to plant. The first thing that we need to understand about this topic of self-esteem is this. All accurate self-appraisal comes from God's view of us. Not our view of us, not others' view of us, but God's view of us. Jeremiah's worth and value existed even before he was formed in his mother's womb. Before he was even born in the mind of God, Jeremiah was worth so much. That was before he ever uttered his first prophecy. That was before he ever preached his first sermon. He already had worth because it was God-given worth. Our worth is founded on the fact that God says we have worth. He loves us. He values us. He has created us. And he gives us the worth and the dignity and the self-esteem that we have. You know, when we focus on our own performance and our own abilities, we end up saying things like Jeremiah said, I'm only a child. You ever been in that situation where you have been in the crunch and you just feel like I'm not going to measure up here and I'm not going to make it and I don't have the ability and I don't have the talent and you feel like a child? That's what happens when we focus on ourselves. God chastised him for speaking like that. God said, don't say that, Jeremiah. Now, if your self-esteem is based on how you view your own strengths and your own abilities, or how others feel about you, or what others say about you, then you are destined to be to being sucked down into that black hole called low self-esteem. You're going to find yourself, if that's your approach in life, climbing the ladder of success only to discover late in life that that ladder's leaning against the wrong wall. There's an organization here in town, and I don't know if you're familiar with it, but it's a wonderful organization. Mike Powers is one of the administrators. It's called Ark of the Ozarks. And this organization serves those in our community that struggle with a variety of developmental issues. There are those there who are being served by that organization who cannot get out of bed by themselves. There are those there who will never go to school, who will never play sports. Many have never been able to contribute to society and never will be able to do so. Some there will never have any relationship with other human beings other than their caretakers or their family members. Some there are not physically attractive as our nation describes beauty. There are some there who cannot control their bodily functions. And the question is, what value do those kinds of people possess in our society? According to Scripture, according to this view that God gives Jeremiah of himself, they are of incredible worth to God. They are just as valuable in the sight of God as the doctors and the caregivers who take care of those with these kinds of disabilities. And if you ask some of the caregivers, they will tell you how their lives have been blessed as they have cared for these people who have very little, seemingly, to give back to society. In Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 4, God said through that prophet, "For every living soul belongs to me." And let me tell you, any soul that belongs to God is of incredible worth. Human life, all human life, finds meaning in our relationship to our Creator. We were created in the image of God, and that gives us our worth. Now, there's a second thing we need to understand about this whole issue of self-esteem, and that is the truth that all of us, however talented we may think we are, all of us here, whatever abilities we have, without God, are nothing. In one sense, I suppose Jeremiah was right when he said, I'm only a child. The truth is that we would never even have heard of the prophet Jeremiah had it not been for the God who empowered him to do what he did. He only had a message from God to deliver to the people because God was the one that touched his mouth and God was the one that gave him his words. There's both bad news and good news regarding our self-worth. The bad news is that without God, every one of us here tonight are a big fat zero. The good news is that through God we can accomplish incredible things in our lives of service to Him. In Genesis chapter 2, we're told that God formed the man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. Bad news, you're all made out of dirt. Good news, God breathed life into this dust that He formed and brought us into the realm of the living. The bad news, according to Jesus says, without me, you can do nothing. But Paul discovered the good news, and the good news is, I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. So we need to understand that anything we have to offer comes because God is the one who empowers and quickens and blesses and strengthens and enables us to do anything good that we ever do. The third truth which emerges from this passage is simply this, and this is to me the most important part of all. The key to a healthy self-appraisal is ultimately found in our humility before our sovereign God. Jeremiah, as you, those of you that have been doing your daily Bible readings, you've read through the book and you have seen how Jeremiah maintained an attitude of humility throughout his ministry. Through the trials and the hardships and the difficulties and the rejection and the tears, Jeremiah maintained an attitude of humility before God. Good self-esteem. If you want to teach your children how to have good self-esteem, this is it. Good self-esteem comes from humility, not from pride. In Isaiah chapter 66, verse 2, Isaiah said, speaking the words of God, "This is the one I esteem, he who is humble and contrite in spirit, and he who trembles at my word." You want to know how to have good self-esteem? Then have God's esteem of you. God's esteem is the ultimate source of our self-esteem. To know that God is pleased with you. Jesus humbled himself. He didn't count equality with God something to be held on to, but he emptied himself. You know where Jesus got his self-esteem? His Father spoke to him and said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." Having God's approval is where you and I will gain the self-esteem we long for. You know the danger in trying to cultivate self-esteem with all these classes and courses and books, what I call the bootstrap method, where we pull ourselves up by saying, you know, boy, do I feel great. You know, I'm okay and I'm going to do great things and I'm going to conquer the world. I'll end up with a self-made model of self-esteem. But the danger in all that is that my self-esteem may not even be accurate at all. Have you ever known someone who thought that they had a great voice and they didn't? Have you ever known someone who thought that they were extremely intelligent, but they acted like a fool? You know, a lot of times people have all the self-esteem in the world, but it's a misplaced self-esteem. It's a delusional self-esteem. It's based on pride. And the wise man said in Proverbs chapter 11, verse 2, when pride comes, then comes disgrace. But with humility comes wisdom. Paul had it right when he wrote, but by the grace of God I am what I am. It's God's grace. It's God's blessing that has placed each one of us where we are. Whatever abilities you have or whatever abilities you don't have, you're what God made. Whatever you look like, and I know that you start out in life at your age. Most of you, if you're like most of us when we were your age, are unhappy with some aspect of how you look. Now, you finally get used to that. You start looking so bad, it just doesn't matter anymore. But you're the way you are because God made you that way. If you have big ears like I do, well, God, for some reason, knew I needed big ears. Maybe I needed to listen more than I talk. But God made us the way He made us. And there's a reason for that. Did you know that inferiority is really just another form of pride? People that struggle with inferiority, I can tell you, you know what their focus is on? It's on themselves. They're always thinking about themselves and how they measure up with this person or that person. But as we grow in Christ and move away from feelings of inferiority, we do that by focusing on others and focusing on God. And that gives us the ability to rejoice with someone who can do a better job than I can in a variety of areas. I'm not jealous. I rejoice that God has gifted them and blessed them. I'll do the best I can where I am, and I'll rejoice that there are others who've been blessed in ways I've not been blessed. You know, it used to bother me, and sometimes it still does, when I get up and teach classes and preach, because on any given subject, if I do a class on some book in the Old Testament or some book in the New Testament, there will always be someone in any crowd who could probably do a better job than I can do teaching or preaching on that subject. And I just have had to admit, you know, that's just the way it's going to be for the rest of my life. There's always going to be someone who can do a better job than I can do at any given moment. But God has called me to this ministry, and I will be faithful and I will do the best job that I can do and be satisfied that God's blessed me in that way as He's blessed others in other ways. All we're called upon to do is to discharge our responsibility faithfully before God. Paul wrote in Colossians 3:23, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord and not for men, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. Don't worry if what you do is not as good as the next fellow. What would it be like in any church family if only the best singer among us ever sang? What would it be like if only the best teacher among us ever taught? What would it be like if only the wealthiest member of this congregation ever gave? That's not what God wants. He wants us all to give our best and make our contribution in relationship to the areas that He's blessed us and gifted us. No, our confidence comes from the fact that we are created and loved by God. And He's called us to serve Him with whatever abilities that He's given to us. And you know, if we don't learn this lesson about the true source of self-esteem, it ends in tragedy. Life gets very, very sad and very, very frustrating if we don't learn this lesson, because one day, if we live long enough, things will change. And you won't be able to do all the things that you used to be able to do when you were young. And your brain won't work as quickly as it once worked, and your reflexes won't be as good as they once were, and you may not be as handsome or as beautiful as you were when you were younger. And let me tell you, if your self-esteem is tied up in all of those sorts of things, then you will be shattered. But if your self-esteem and your self-worth is based on your relationship with God, then that can never, ever, ever be taken away from you. The story is told about an American couple who were vacationing in Europe, and they were in a Parisian antique shop, and the wife saw an amber necklace. And it was a beautiful necklace, and they picked it up for a pittance and took it back to the States, and she left it in her drawer, and after several years just wondered, if there's any real value to that necklace. And they took it to their jeweler and asked him if he could have it appraised. And about 3 days later, they received a phone call from the jeweler. And he said, "Are you sitting down?" He said, "You obviously did not see the inscription on the clasp of that necklace." He said, "I have authenticated it, and the inscription reads, 'From Napoleon to Josephine.'" It was worth a fortune. Not because of the intrinsic value of the necklace, but because of the former owner of it. Now, everyone here tonight has inscribed on their life the name of our owner, the Lord Jehovah, who made us and who created us and who has given us areas of usefulness and service. And what a variety of areas of usefulness are represented here in this church body. He made you and He loved you. And no one else can take your unique place in His heart. Now that gives us true self-esteem and true worth. We're going to sing a song as we close. And if you need to respond to the God who created you and who loves you, if you need prayers tonight, we would love to be able to pray for you in whatever area you're struggling, if you need our prayers. These young people that have just responded, the four that have just recently come to the Lord, who just been baptized, if there's anyone here tonight that needs to make a similar response, we would gladly assist you. God loves you, and He wants to be with you forever. If you need to come, we invite you to come while we stand and while we sing.